This is an Enterprise Times podcast sponsored by Rootstock. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Dan Bowers, Vice President of Operations at Dent Wizard International, and Scott Johnson, Senior Vice President of Customer Operations at Rootstock Software. We'll discuss how Dent Wizard has continued to enhance its Rootstock solution since it was first implemented. It is something that cloud vendors often promise, but is infrequently taken advantage of by customers. Hi, Dan, Scott, could you both introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Scott Johnson, and my team owns the customer relationship post-go-live. We use traditional case management to resolve problems and identify opportunities to engage with customers on process improvements. These cases can resolve as a quick answer or evolve into a project over multiple weeks or even months of recurring meetings with customers to build solutions. We can provide accelerated help to customers so they can connect to more value in Rootstock using platform tools. And we also connect with our customers to documentation, our learning center, and our growing user community collaboration space. What we're going to talk about today is one of those customer engagements that started with a simple case and evolved into a rather large project. Dan?
My name is Dan Bowers. I'm Vice President of Operations here at Dent Wizard. Dent Wizard is the largest strictly reconditioning service. A lot of cars, we're the only one of our kind, and we cover everything from simple repairs through complex repairs to the cosmetics of the car, as well as providing keys. And that's where Rootstock came into play for us. Here at Dent Wizard, operations is our single largest operating arm. We have over 1,800 technicians and another 700 managers, all of which have to service various lines of business in the automotive industry, from the railhead, where cars are shipped and delivered, through to dealership in the auction world and in a wholesale world as well. Do a lot of work in every facet of the industry. If you go by an airport, odds are we have employees out at the rental cars there as well. We do a lot of reconditioning to cars. We make a lot of keys. We do a lot of interiors, and it takes people to do it. Everything that happens within operations, somehow I get involved in, either mildly or on a larger scale. Last year, we had a changeover with Rootstock where we, in essence, replatformed in a short period of time, and I was our executive sponsor for that project.
Dan, thanks. The working title of this was Keys to Customer Support, Assisting Existing Clients Through ERP Digital Transformation. You've already mentioned keys, but what is the keys business? Can you just briefly explain how your journey with Rootstock started, not just the last year's transformation?
Yes, our key business started in 2010 or 2011. I can't exactly remember. It's been a long time. In a decade, we added it to our repertoire of services. Over about a decade period, we went from using our ERP system to manage our key business. We're the largest automotive locksmith company in the country. As you might imagine, we've got a lot of technicians out there that are either originating or duplicating keys for our customers. We see a lot more potential too. So in a decade, we've grown that business substantially. What we learned a few years ago is that we needed a dedicated platform to manage our key business. There are a lot of moving parts to it. You have inventory that you have to buy. You have to hold it because we're mobile, obviously. We don't operate out of fixed sites for our key business. Because we're mobile, we have to upfit vans and trucks. We have to track all of that inventory, as well as be able to sell that inventory and reorder that inventory. That's where we knew we needed a solution because our ERP system wasn't keeping up. And it was very difficult to keep an eye on how much inventory we had, because you can get into trouble with obsolescence if you don't. And that's where Rootstock came into play. They helped us get there, albeit a little bit painful. I'll say this. The original version was good from where we started to where we got to, and the newest version is light years ahead. The original version of that, being able to order keys, take them into inventory, sell those keys, and track them in a coherent fashion, because there's a lot of complexity to it. You've got thousands of SKUs to have to manage and join those down to a VIN number to get that key made. Rootstock helped us make sense of all that in our first version. When we replatformed, I'll be honest, like I said, it's light years ahead. The features, the agility, And the ownership that we actually have over the solution in partnership with Rootstock is significant. I've got enough of a software background to know that in our business, we have to have agility, and that's what it does.
Yeah, Dan, you also mentioned the word mobile, which is interesting because your inventory is in trucks that moves around, so your inventory is actually mobile, but you also had a desire to move 100% of that activity over to a phone, a truly mobile-based application rather than leverage desktops at all. I thought that was a great part of this project. What we'll talk about later is that we do have new tools now to fully enable users on the true mobile experience, as we demonstrated with this project.
Thanks, Scott. Dan, so what prompted the change?
I'd say agility, because one thing that we did learn in version one, and it's not that version one was terrible, it just lacked flexibility and agility for us. Understanding, and Scott just touched on, our employees operate using mobile phones. You've never seen anything like us. We invoice almost exclusively out of mobile phones. A large portion of our key business operates with a guy walking around with a telephone to either scan a VIN to understand which key he needs, look up a key, find if he's got that key, or search in another truck. So what led to it was that agility. And Scott, again, touched on it. The fact that our technicians not only are mobile in a vehicle, they're mobile on foot, and they needed to carry the tool with them. It's one of the big triggers behind it. Additionally, the first working version helped us uncover where we needed improvements to meet the agility that we needed. You'll hear me say agility about 10 times because we have to be agile in the marketplace, a very competitive marketplace. The big thing for us was to do as much as possible in an application and take that to the next level in doing it on a smartphone.
What changes did you actually do last year that made a difference to your end users?
Okay. That's significant.
Hey, Dan, one of the first projects we worked on was the cycle count application. So you might want to address that as not only a project, but also a confidence builder in how quickly and effectively we could deliver a specific solution like that that grew into the larger application.
Dent Wizards, before we replatformed, we had to do inventory every year because you hold that inventory and it has value. We were using spreadsheets with lookup function in it. Then we call it the Lightning app internally. It came out in the end of 2019, and it's only gotten better because we've reduced the number of clicks out of it or the step-throughs in the software itself. But the significance of it is being able to, at least initially, was to put in the key type or key number. The lookup function and the wildcard to it made it go a lot faster. Our inventories went from half a day to about 6 hours. That may seem like, gosh, you're spending 6 hours. We have thousands of keys on these trucks. The Lightning app really was a confidence builder for us, as well as Rootstock, to say, gosh, we really can get our arms around a complex business and actually inventory it and deliver that data to our accounting folks in a pretty quick fashion, then double check it at the end. So we had to design some process change around it. But at the end of the day, what we came up with was a tight process that measured our variance and overstocks and things like that, what we were short of fairly well. From there, what it did teach us to step into completely replatforming was scanning makes all the difference in the world, makes it go a lot faster. Managing your SKUs is important, and if you get that right, then the rest of the application will fall in place. The bigger thing it taught us was you can have an agile, pardon the pun, development that's active that actually gets you in a short period of time where you want to go. Now, if you fast forward to January or February of last year, I think it was February, right, Scott, that we jumped off with replatforming, the progress made in 4 or 5 months, we were down to final testing. And funny story, and Scott may not like this, but I remember refereeing disagreements over, we need to print, we have a workaround to print, we need to get it to market, we need to test it, we need to bang on it a little bit, between our IT director and Scott. I was the guy who had to referee. But the point there is this, in a short period of time, we were down to the minute detail of the difference, the agility, and the accuracy that the migration didn't make for us. It all started with, hey, our inventories, we know the data's right. Let's press forward with how can we improve the application itself so that we get that same flexibility and accuracy. And so far, it's worked exceptionally well. We still got more to do and more tools available that we're way ahead on that our company policies have to catch up to.
Do you think it's made a financial difference in terms of stock control at all?
Well, absolutely it has. I can tell you last April, we had a significant variance in our inventory counts, so much so that it was a little bit alarming financially. What the inventory process itself and the Lightning app helped us do was specifically identify where our problem spots were. We had to attack those two ways. We had to right size our inventory, and we had to readdress training with some of our technicians. Now, readdressing training, as you might imagine, we've got 500 technicians all over the country. You got to get somebody on the road to do that. And not all of them needed it. The big thing for us was we re-inventoried in the fall. What we found was we had gotten so much better at managing our inventory cradle to grave that our variance was cut more than in half over April of 2020. So between April and call it November of 2020, we cut a variance of, say, 14% down to about 5%.
Yeah, Dan, there was the evolution of the life of a key report also that was very helpful to doing the root cause analysis on why inventory was off.
Yep.
Literally a fairly simple cost transaction report that showed when the key came into inventory, who received it, when, where. Did it get cycle counted out? Did it get sold? Who did it get sold to? Those types of things that I thought was pretty cool as well.
Well, it's also those features have enabled us to move keys around. What we hadn't done very well in the past is each truck or technician operated in an independent silo. And we've been able to cross those barriers and move keys to where they are selling. So if you've got a guy 5 miles from you who's got five of a specific key that you're selling a lot of, or you need five of, you can search not only your inventory, that you can look nearby and it'll geolocate it. It's those little things that are making a huge difference in our business. It's significant that on the fly, you can look at your inventory, look at everybody else's inventory and pull what you need, and also measure how successful you're being doing so. It's been significant.
Thanks, Dan. You mentioned replatform. For some, that might sound a scary word. Scott, could you explain?
What Dan is speaking to is just the evolution of Salesforce mobile capabilities on the Salesforce platform. The flow automation is a relatively new tool that we're able to build application and extend them to mobile very quickly. One of Dan's favorite things is the ability to roll back to the prior version if there is an issue. That de-risks a lot of the rollout and development. You can literally implement an improvement or an enhancement, activate it, and if something bad happens, you just roll back to the prior version. That in combination with the mobile app capability and the ability to assign Lightning pages to an app, you can have a different page layout if you're on the mobile device versus a desktop and so on. There's just so many more tools now on the Salesforce platform to build out these mobile solutions. Just did a significant overhaul to DentWizard's mobile capability. There was also a bit of the back end, the way we were processing transactions. Sometimes there would be a batch job that would run to process or update certain pieces of the data. So rather than use a batch job, we just integrated it directly into the flow to do the update. It was really well thought out. To DentWizard's credit, from pretty much day one, there were super users sitting in the meetings talking about what their requirements were and doing testing of the early versions. So it really compressed that gap between what we thought it was supposed to do and what it was supposed to do. That's an important part of this story, is the collaboration and how much closer to users these tools are getting and accessible by admins rather than developers. The term replatforming isn't a re-implementation. It's just an evolution of the mobile tool set on the platform. We're taking the same business processes and just processing them in a different way, in a more efficient way, with the same rootstock transactions, and the same part numbers and core data in Rootstock, but making the user experience more efficient. Again, the new tools that we have around flow automation and building and managing Lightning apps on the Salesforce platform, it's just a logical evolution. It's the same Rootstock. It's the same Dent Wizard business processes, just presented to the user in a more efficient way and a more modern user experience.
Dan, how has this update enabled agility at Dent Wizard?
The previous version, it just wasn't as agile as we needed to be. Our business changes, gosh, weekly, and sometimes you have to adjust to those. Technology can have a difficult time keeping up. Things that would have taken us weeks, maybe months in the past to change, we can change in a matter of days. Obviously, Rootstock has to get involved with some of them, but just a flow-based development really suits this business very well. And because of that, we can put a flow together, test it if it works, beta test it and ferret out what changes or errors we may have and roll it out. We're on version 2 or 3 now in just a little over a year, just because we've made modifications and changes that have been helpful that we can roll out and so much faster. I look at it this way. It's like a flow chart. If you can put a flow chart together, that's kind of how it works. And that works very, very well for us.
Dan, I understand you've got several integrations as part of the Rootstock implementation. How were they affected through this change?
The most important being user-facing. Again, I'm VP of operations, so I hear if there's problems in accounting. The bigger problems is when our technicians are having trouble because they generate our revenue. How has it impacted us? I'd say for the most part, and when I say the most part, let's call it 80 or 90% or better, it's been a dramatic improvement. We have methods that are a lot more tight, so our end users have less clicks to get to the end result, issue an invoice, and actually bill it to make money for the company. Our finance department has an easier time accessing and pulling out meaningful data that hit our P&Ls. Our accounting department has to reconcile all of that stuff. So it's been a dramatic improvement across the board. It also has, and the thing we like about it is it's pretty robust in your ability to have reports, build reports, modify reports, and data that help drive your business. In the key business, you have a lot of drivers. You've got productivity to worry about. You've got cost of goods sold to worry about. You've got a variety of other supplies, how quickly they hit your queue and how quickly you get them. And how can you tighten that up so that you don't carry too much? It's been an improvement across the board for all departments. I know this because there's less complaint, and that's usually what I get. I don't get a lot of good news every day. I do get a lot of complaints or suggestions on what we can do better. Quite frankly, I have been pleasantly surprised as we've gone through this path at the lack of, I call it squealing, the lack of squealing coming from all the departments. It's been a lot of work.
Dan, in the early days of the project, we focused a fair amount on data integrity on records that was impacting the integrations to various systems. And a good example was the intake of VIN numbers, make, model, year of the vehicle, which is critical operating data for you. Basically, the users were encouraged to type in or make selections of all of that data. So what we're able to do is provide, as you mentioned, a solution to scan either with OCR or a barcode the VIN number. And in that process of intaking the VIN number, we are able to decode the make, model, year from the VIN number. That was an important piece in solving some of those integration errors because no longer was the user asked to put that data in. They would just scan it. It would decode and populate accurately. I thought that was pretty cool. And then we were able to later enable the technicians to just input a reference number from one of your larger customers, which would then access their API to pull down all of that information from the stock number, including additional information about the order that you'd received from that customer. That has evolved into the ease of integration with that customer's procurement system. So that base record that we were creating manually is now being created through automation. It's this ongoing evolution of capabilities all enabled by a great internal team, great platform tools, great collaboration between all involved, your customers, you, us.
at the end of the day, what that impacts is if you're a customer and you need to get a key for a car, and nowadays keys are becoming more expensive based on the type. You've got proximity keys that are very expensive and things like that. Imagine if you're one of our customers and you can knowingly order a key and know what you're going to pay for that key based on the VIN. It's significant because your projections become tighter. So not only is it impacting us, the specific customer Scott's speaking about, they sell hundreds of thousands of cars a year. At the end of the day, to be able to tighten down your projected cost of reconditioning, which includes keys, is significant.
This sounds like quite a complex project. Do you have a large IT department to enact it? How do you actually go about doing these changes?
I wouldn't say they're large. I'd say we do subcontract fair amounts. Scott and his team have been tremendous in support. So it's those two working in tandem that enable us to get there. We're not under any illusion that we need to own all of the IT world to get to where we need to go. We think the right relationships and the right partners make all the difference. In this case, it's dramatically improved our business. Scott and his team, again, have done a great job supporting, not only supporting where we want to go, but actually understanding our business and the drivers behind it. You don't always get that, believe me. It's sometimes difficult for your partners to understand your vision and understand the application of an IT solution or a technological solution as it applies to your business. In my experience, Rootstock's done a great job keeping us out of trouble, as well as engaging in our business to understand it, because it is very complex. The direct answer is no, we don't have a huge IT department. As a matter of fact, it's not large when you look at the size of our company. The Rootstock's done a good job of filling this place in our operation and understanding our business to make it successful.
Now, has the new mobile platform allowed you as a business to be more agile within the business? So are you doing changes yourselves?
Absolutely. Yes, we have. I can remember speaking with our VP of IT and can't remember exactly what it is, so forgive me, but I remember speaking to him and saying, gosh, we really need to consider locking down what we can reorder, what have you. Him telling me that's a flow we've created or we can create quickly. Tell me what you're looking for. To the point where if you mention something and it can be done in a short period of time, it's significant to an operation. The biggest thing it's done is made us confident that, yes, we can handle what comes our way in the business world. We don't have a lot of workarounds to have to jump through to make it work.
Scott, has that customer alliance on Rootstock and its partners moved towards a more customer-centric view compared to a few years ago?
Yeah, for sure. A few years ago, customers would come to us and request product enhancements. They would require a more traditional development cycle to deliver. We'd be more in the role of handing off requirements to a development team to build the solution, come back weeks or months later, and show the customer for the first time what we'd built. That type of process is time-consuming, can be costly, and has a number of layers of communication between the developer and the actual user community. But today, when we hear comments like, it takes too many clicks to see this information or do this thing, or why can't I do this on my phone, all these different questions we get from users, we can use some of these new tools to go straight to providing solutions rather than communicating requirements. It's really accelerated the ability to connect customers to value in Rootstock, as well as enable customers to do things themselves. So we'll provide accelerator help. We're not only doing things for customers, we're showing customers how we do them, and it's technology that's accessible enough that, especially with a talented IT team like Dan has, they take it and run with it. It's really exciting to watch, and it's totally scalable. The more customers connect with the platform tools and how Rootstock ties in with those tools, the more they can do their own solutions. We're always there to help with resource if they need it to accelerate time to value, but they're no longer solely dependent on us to make changes to the application and extend those applications into the mobile device. It's really exciting to watch.
Dan, Rootstock's obviously cloud software. They obviously release upgrades every so often. Do you have a process by which you identify the new features that they've rolled out and therefore take advantage yourself, or is it more driven from business initiatives within DentWizard?
For the most part, it's driven by business initiatives within DentWizard. I will say that we're always on the lookout for efficiency, and Scott does a good job of transmitting, at least to us, what might be impactful. Previous statement about knowing our business well enough to understand what will be impactful. We don't necessarily just throw a bunch at us. They will say, hey, here's some updates or new features you might want to consider. These might be a better fit for what your key business is. It's helped us shape our strategy, and it's also helped us find efficiencies where we may not have otherwise looked. It's been significant to have those available if we want. If you've ever been to a home improvement store, the designer's picks, that's kind of how we view it. It's been truly impactful for us.
You mentioned reporting earlier, but how's reporting helped drive the insights? Or what insights have they uncovered in the business that you didn't know about before?
Well, I can give you a significant one we're in the middle of right now. We've always looked at very simple business drivers, what your billings are per technician. That starts out, you look at going back to our inventory, how effective is that top biller? Is he carrying too much inventory? Is he carrying not enough inventory? Are our customers having to wait? Because bear in mind, we have a service level agreement that requires 24 to 48 hours of fulfillment for a normal key that we stock. If it's a special order that we have to go out and order specific to car, BMW is a really good example. You have a lot of special orders with BMW, Mercedes. At the end of the day, we started measuring more deeply. What did it look like for our top billers? How well do they manage their inventory? Our best technicians manage a very good inventory. They are quick at being a locksmith because it's not just you get a key and you go to the car and drop it in the car. There's some technical know-how there, intellectual capital, if you will. The big thing was that we're in the middle of right now is what is actual cost of goods sold measured against the whole inventory? What is his productivity level? How much does he order? Because if he's over-ordering, overcompensating for, say, a loss or theft event where you've got a significant number, a type of car, so say someone has stolen or comes up missing 12 Lexus LS460s, well, he may not have all those keys and has to order them, but if he overcompensates, it's a big problem. Our reporting and ability to get down to the granular level is really driving our efficiency out to the individual technician. Not in a negative way where we catch you, in a productive way. Let us help you get better. Let us help you manage your inventory tightly. Let us help you with the solution that makes it easier for you to do the job. It's been exceptionally enlightening to have that level of reporting and to be able to dive into your data and pull out the key parameters that really are going to impact our business beginning to end in the key world. Eventually, at least my vision is it's going to be able to push back out to the vendor when you're buying, make a difference there.
Was there a challenge with change management with your end engineers?
We attacked it the right way. Everyone was used to our original version of RootScan. What we did as we went through the change was we identified key players. We've got 8 regions, and we identified key players and the right technicians to test it. It was really a cross-section of them. Some that weren't as technologically savvy, so they weren't as comfortable using a phone as someone who was, but we really guided them through it. We allowed them to have direct access to our IT team to give that direct input. What are the pain points? What's working well? What's better than the previous version? And I can tell you, it made a huge difference because I was the guy who had to schedule all the calls and listen to all the folks, all of our technicians talk about what's working well, what's not. And when we rolled it out pretty quick. To have hundreds of technicians trained, have to train a trainer internally, have her train all of our technicians, for them to go through a session and get it, migrate to it in a fairly short period of time, it was significant. The challenges we had was moving quick enough. We couldn't get enough people scheduled quickly enough, but it was very, very minimal.
So Dan, there was also some change management around some of the new controls that we put in the application that the technicians, they used to be able to do this, but now they can't do it, not because the application couldn't do it. It's just that the internal controls now required them to scan in a part number as the beginning of the receipt process as a step of validation and other things that you guys wanted to roll into controls that made it a little more challenging or not challenging, but it was a different experience for the technician. They were having to work through that as well as a change of the user interface. But ultimately, we got that experience that balanced control with the efficiency of the user and those types of things.
It was an opportunity to, just to finish the point, to introduce policy change that we needed. It made it more palatable. If the solution hadn't been so strong, we would have had a lot more difficulty with it. I know enough about those rolling out at scale to know that it would have been a much larger challenge than it was. So yes, to Scott's point, it was different. It wasn't any worse by any stretch of the imagination. It was a lot better and a lot more efficient. So I think that we were able to address our policy needs as well as technological needs and really get buy-in from our technicians.
Scott, a lot of these applications are built using the Salesforce low-code platform. How do you see customers evolving through the use of low-code?
Well, again, this is a great example where we definitely played a large role in the initial development of this application. And since then, Dan's team has made significant modifications to improve the efficiency based on user feedback. And they've done that largely on their own. We've turned more into a more traditional support model where it's like, hey, I'm trying to get it to do this and it won't. Can you help me? And it's like, sure. So it's very tactical now rather than the larger strategic initiative. It's also evolved into a couple of scope of work engagements where we're building the initial application to flesh it out or structure it. And then the Dent Wizard team picks it up and polishes it. In that process, they understand exactly how it's built. They understand the tools that it was built with. So the go-forward maintenance and polish and enhancements to go with their ever-evolving business processes is enabled. It's fun to watch. It's a great part of the process to see customers become more independent and more capable of owning these critical pieces of their business.
Dan, last question. DentWizard has taken advantage of the new functionality available in Rootstock. Could you give a tip to another business leader that wants to leverage the same functionality and how they should approach it?
Absolutely. Take the time to make sure that your development partner, or in this case, Rootstock, understands your vision, because they engaged very well. Scott did a great job directing his team. So make sure you're aligned there, because the rest will go easy. Don't be afraid of it. I was at first until I saw how quickly and efficiently we got down on the path. Again, when you're a few months in and you're discussing minute detail, that's a good place to be. Part of it is having the right mindset. You have to begin with the end in mind. What are your business drivers? And drive to those business drivers. So for us, it's about efficiency of employee and for them to be able to do as many keys a day as they could without sacrificing customer service. If you start thinking that way, the project will flow that way. There are times where you've just got to debate until you're settled on what the correct course of action is. That's a good thing, because what you don't want is a lot of iterations for the sake of someone winning an argument or someone having their way or what have you. I think that Scott's team did a very good job, as did our IT department, being insistent on certain courses of action throughout this project that made us better. A lot more agile, a lot more productive, have a lot more visibility. And again, understand, from order to sale, there are a lot of steps in between. It was a big thing for us. I hate to say I enjoyed it, only because I really did enjoy it, just because it was so much more improved and efficient for us. You can't be afraid of that. Difficulty doesn't mean it's going to turn out bad. It just means you're solving a complex issue. The tools that are available and the flow-based programming, or I guess you called it low-code, gosh, for businesses that need to be agile, they change the way you think. The bang for buck is significant. Let's just put it that way.
Dan, Scott, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.